a dad, you know, with young kids, you want to teach them, of course, the work ethic and but responsibility, really owning up to your mistakes, owning up to, you know, taking responsibility for your actions.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And on the line, I'm very happy to have Pro Football Hall of Fame member Anthony Munoz. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Anthony. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. How you doing today?
Doing really well, man. Looking forward to chatting with you about football and your foundation. But of course, the main reason why I want to bring you on here is talk about fatherhood. So talk to me when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
Well, it was kind of like, okay, here's the baby. Where's the owner's manual? What do we do here? You know, it was one of those things that, you know, I knew that, you know, I played sports for a long time, and I knew that, you know, my sports career was enhanced because of coaching. So it was one of those things growing up without a dad. I never knew my dad, never met my dad. It was time, even prior to really being a father, utilizing resources, books, individuals that, you know, some mentors. So really trying to take in as much as I could on parenting as being a dad. So that's really kind of what I did. And then, you know, I'll never forget, you know, saw the little one at home and I'm thinking, okay, we're all in on this one. So, but yeah, my first thought was I really need to find mentors. I need to find resources on, you know, really how to be the, cause I really wanted to be a, you know, hopefully be a great dad. And, you know, like I said, as an offensive lineman, I utilized my coach and, you know, to fundamentals and try to be the best. So that's what I was doing as a dad.
I love that. And a lot of people know you from the great work, not only on the football field, but with your foundation and your paying it forward and the hard work. A lot of values that people can see that you probably were looking to instill not only in your children, but your grandkids as well now. So talk about some of the other core values besides hard work and paying it forward that you look to instill into your kids as they were growing up.
Well, you know, as a dad, you know, with young kids, you want to teach them, you know, of course, the work ethic, but responsibility, really owning up to your mistakes, owning up to, you know, taking responsibility for your actions, not blaming others. You know, when you make a mistake, confess it and really learn from it. So that was, you know, responsibility, you know, trustworthy, honesty, you know, hoping that those things will, you know, as you teach those, hopefully those will, you know, permeate and be part of their lives.
Oh, that's fantastic, sir. And I think parents, we always feel like we need to have the answers, right? And our kids feel like, you know, oh, we can come to our parents because they know everything. And then after a while, you realize you have that heart to heart with yourself saying like, I don't know everything, right? But we also learn things from our kids. So talk about something that you have learned about life or yourself that your kids have taught you?
Well, you know, first of all, back to your point, part of that, you know, realizing you don't know everything. We were very thankful. We had close friends that really felt that, you know, mom and dad didn't know something or, you know, the kids needed another voice. We had close friends that they could go to. But, you know, learning from your kids, I mean, you learn and that, you know, you can try to do the best job you can, but they're making their own choices. And a lot of times they're not the best choices. And, you know, you try to really instill in them what we've talked about, the, you know, the character values and really the things that you've learned through, you know, I can say I learned through making mistakes and then growing from those mistakes. And you learn as a dad from your kids that, you know, you have no control over their decisions, their choices they're going to make because, you know, sometimes they're really good ones and sometimes they're not so good.
What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads? Listen to this.
You know, and when we talk about parenting, and my wife and I, we talk about, you know, you can be try to be the best dad or the best mom. But I tell the young dads is that the relationship between you and mom, you and the spouse, you and your wife, are probably one of the most important things that you can, you know, teach to your kids is how you handle their mom, how you handle your wife. And, you know, your relationship really has a lot to do on how they grow up and, you know, what they do. So that's one of the things I tell them is that, you know, they'll treat their mom the way you treat your wife. And I think that's a big part of being a dad.
Well said. Yeah, I honestly think you're spot on right there, where it's, you got to be a good role model for your kids in all aspects, right? Being there with your spouse and your partner is so true. So I appreciate you sharing that. And another good thing, too, is your foundation, the Anthony Munoz Foundation. And people can go to munozfoundation.org. And, of course, we'll put up links on where people can go. But talk a little bit about the inspiration for you to set that up, sir.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I didn't start the foundation until 8 years after I retired from the NFL. And I understand, you know, the being relevant and your leverage as you're playing as a player. But I also understand that, you know, when I was playing, I was, you know, trying to do my job the best I could as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. I was a husband. I was a father. And I didn't have the time to totally engage in a foundation. So I knew that I wanted to start it after I retired and when the kids were probably on their way to college, almost out of college. But I knew I wanted to do that. And mainly the inspiration was really, you look back to individuals and organizations that helped me out when I was growing up. You know, my mom raising five kids by herself, working 2-3 jobs, you know, the Ontario Parks and Recreation that provided me opportunities to, you know, not only play baseball, but games, and my teachers in school and coaches, you know, a coach like Jim Seaman, who I met when I was 7 years old and I played high school baseball for. Those are the type of individuals, mom, aunts and uncles, and, you know, coaches and teachers that really inspired me to say, hey, you know what? I have a platform now. Now it's time to pay it forward. But then the older I got, not only is it paying it forward, but it's honoring those that poured into my life. And so I knew in 2002, my kids were like halfway through college. I'd kind of been setting the framework for a foundation, and that's when we kicked it off. So we're going on 20 years, and I knew that I wanted to help young men and women that were talented but might not have the resources, might not have the confidence to move forward through, you know, in their elementary years or from high school to college. So, you know, in our 7 programs, that's what we do. We try to educate, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually, all these kids from, you know, elementary, high school, and just through, you know, mentoring, character camps, leadership seminars, and then scholarships for high school seniors going to college. So, you know, it's something that I still am motivated now. I tell people I'm an old guy now. We've been at it 20 years, but I still stay motivated trying to raise money to impact young people in this great community.
Well, I appreciate your efforts, sir, and everything that you and your organization are doing. And, you know, something, you know, what I think is great, too, is not only, you know, from this conversation that we're talking about fatherhood, that people can understand you're a very involved father, but through the different interactions with your foundation and the different kids and all the stuff that you have seen, not only are you staying in touch with your kids and your grandkids, but you're also seeing how other families are doing it, right? So are there other things that you've kind of picked up that maybe are topics that you've kind of learned, like, hey, this is something that parents should talk about with their kids? Is there one that comes to mind that you would like to share to parents listening to this right now? Because sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees, right? And if you're taking the third person perspective and seeing something that's going on with a family, I'm not saying you need to share what's going on with a family, but I think you have seen so many different great family dynamics, but what is something that parents should maybe talk to their kids about that they might not be talking to their kids just in this day and age? And I know everybody with the pandemic is hanging out and everybody's close, but what is something you've learned about your foundation that maybe parents should be knowledgeable and talking to their kids about?
Well, you know, I think one of the things which has been exciting for me to one of our programs, our Youth Leadership Seminar, which is mainly a high school event. We usually have, of course, you know, COVID-19 has really changed things, but we usually have like 85 to 95 high schools, you know, in one day event. And over the last several years, I've learned that a big topic that, you know, high school kids don't talk about, and I think families don't spend enough time talking about, it's the whole mental health issue, you know, and which encompasses a lot, from, you know, eating disorders to, you know, suicide. It's from, you know, just anxiety. I think those are things that I have found we bring in, you know, local doctors that end up being some of the, you know, most favorite speakers for these high school kids, because they say, hey, we don't talk about these things. And for someone to come in and, you know, really initiate and talk about that, we love that. It gives us a chance to sit down and talk with our peers. So I think that's one thing that I think, you know, as families, we need to speak more of as a family, because it is. And then, again, you add COVID-19 to it, and it's adding even more to, you know, the stress of, you know, anxiety and eating disorders and, you know, suicide attempts. And so, you know, I'm thankful that through our programs that, you know, through asking all these schools that we deal with, we always try to get, you know, feedback from the schools. How can we make our programs better? And those are some of the things that the teachers and the moderators talk about. Have somebody come in and talk about the mental health issues. And we've been able to do that, and it's been big. So I think that's, if there's, you know, one area that's a resounding, this is what we need to address, it's got to be the mental health with families. And I would encourage families to really, you know, not spend time together, but engage with each other. Mm. That's the thing that I always talk about is, you know, it's one thing to spend time as a family. You're there, you know, maybe somebody's on the phone, maybe somebody's on the computer. But when you engage, when you get into each other's world, that's really when that becomes, you know, very beneficial. And that allows you to, you know, really, I guess, open up and talk about those tough issues.
What a fantastic point there, Anthony. Yeah, because you can all be sitting in a room, and I'll admit, man, I'll be guilty. If we're watching like a movie that we've seen before, or it's a movie that maybe I'm not really into, I might open up my iPad, not really hang out, right? And just kind of like zone out in there. Right. So I think that is very key. Yeah, just because we're physically here together, you got to be mentally there together as well and engaging and having that, not the yes or no questions, but open-ended questions to create that dialogue. So I love that.
You know, and another thing I would add to that too, and not to, again, not to get into details, but, you know, as parents, as a dad, you can, you know, you think you do, you know, nobody's a perfect dad, nobody's a perfect parent, but you think you do things well, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going and your kid makes a decision that you're like, oh my goodness, where did that come from? And you know, your first thought is, hey, what did I do wrong? Well, some of that might be true, but then, you know, like I mentioned earlier, your kids are going to make their own decisions. You know, you raise them to make their own decisions. And you know, we have that now with one of our kids. We're kind of thinking, oh my goodness, where did that come from? I cannot believe that. We're trying to work through that, trying to figure out, you know, what happened there. So, you know, another point to the parents, you can do what, you know, be engaged, talk, but you have to understand, again, I get back to that point, your kids are going to make their decisions, and do what you can to teach them and get them ready. But you have to understand, there comes a point in time where they're going to make their own decisions.
Well said. Yeah, definitely. And this is going to be a transition into football with a fatherhood question to start off with. I was curious, when you were playing in the NFL, did you and your teammates kind of talk about fatherhood? I know that there were some times when I talked to players in the NFL that they sometimes, you know, are allowed to bring their kids in on certain days and all that. But did you and your teammates ever talk shop about fatherhood?
Well, you know, that's a key thing because, you know, when I retired, I went to both kids and just asked them what they're going to miss about, you know, dad retiring from the NFL. Of course, we have a son and daughter, and the son said, you know, I'm going to miss Saturday morning with the date to go down to the facility and just run around with the other kids, you know, my teammates' kids, and, you know, throw the football around, you know, be rough and tough with each other. And that did happen. They were able, at the Pro Bowl, they were able to go out, and, you know, my son still says one of his highlights was at practice, trying him and a couple of the other kids trying to catch Reggie Roby's, you know, 4.5, 5 second hang time punt, and they come home with bruises on their arms. But but no, it's one of those things, you know, as a player, you know, we used to have a couple Bible studies, and there was quite a few guys, and we did. We would talk about parenting along with a lot of other issues and stuff, you know. So, and we'd always kind of share stories. You know, you're always sharing stories about your kids, and guys are always asking about your kids. And that's one thing you understand is even guys you didn't play with or they played before you, once you meet them, man, they know everything that's going on, and we'll ask each other, well, how's your kid doing? How's he doing? And so, yeah, that's something that's always top of the mind with teammates and always talking about. And then, like I said, for years we had the, you know, couple Bible studies, and that parenting is one of the things that we always tried to, you know, study.
Nice. And this kind of bleeds into my next question is, what do you personally miss about your playing days?
Well, I think the camaraderie. It's a little different now, but back when I was playing, we went to camp for 4 weeks. I mean, it was, you know, Wilmington, Ohio, little bitty college town. We would bring all our stuff up there and, you know, we would be locked down for a whole month. And, you know, so you're with your guys for that whole month. The traveling, you know, you travel to a city, you're staying in a hotel. We were a team that had team meals together. Some teams give you you know, money to go out and buy per diem to go out and buy your own meal. No, we had every meal with us as a team. And then, you know, practice, you're there during the season, you know, from 7, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And then even in the off season, we had, you know, there was a group of guys that worked out at the facility pretty much year round. So it's just that whole camaraderie of being together in the locker room and, you know, not to mention the whole competitive thing and competing with each other against other, you know, teams and stuff. But I think the main thing is just, you know, being around the guys and, you know, you build relationships, a brotherhood, you know, it's this thing that you play with guys, you know, especially when I was playing, you didn't have free agency, so you played with guys for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things. I think I had two left guards for 13 years, one like 4 years and one like 9 years, eight, nine. So it was, you know, you played together with a lot of the guys, unless, you know, guys didn't make the team, you were together. And so I'd have to say that's probably the relationships that you established while you're playing. It's really one of the first things you miss when it's over.
Yeah, no doubt. Two more questions before I hit you up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. You got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, especially, you know, you were definitely a known name going from college to the NFL, but there were some, you know, questions about, like, your health and all that other stuff. And I think even back then, I think it was, I'm preaching to the choir because you lived it, but it was like everybody was meticulous on, like, what you know, if you could make it and all that stuff. Then you have a great career in the NFL. When you retired and then you got elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, what was, like, your first initial thought with all the hard work, with everything you've put in your career? What was going through your mind at that point?
Well, still, I mean, unbelief. I mean, you know, I played one game my senior year, and the Bengals drafted me with the third pick in the entire draft. I ended up playing 13 years. And even after that, I mean, my last year, you kind of hear, you know, announcers would kind of refer to potential Hall of Famer. And I'd say, I mean, that's crazy. That's a place for guys like Merlin Olsen and Bart Starr and Gale Sayers. That's for them. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm out 5 years and they're talking about first ballot. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So when I got the word, it was like, you know, humility. I mean, just thankfulness, because, you know, I didn't have that, you know, decorated college career like a lot of guys. You know, you hear of guys that were free agents in the NFL that are in the Hall of Fame. For me, I did get drafted, but there was a lot of questions, like you said, can the guy last a year, you know, because I had three knee operations in 4 years. So I guess appreciation and humility is the thing, you know. And you know, I've been in 22 years, and I still pinch myself every time I drive up from Cincinnati to Canton for Hall of Fame weekend, because it's one of those things. It's just like, whoa, this is still pretty much unbelievable that I'm in the Hall of Fame. So I guess the two words would be humility and appreciation.
No doubt. And again, thank you for sharing that. One more quick question. It really stinks to see what happened with Joe Burrow, because I'm a Niners fan, but just seeing the potential that, you know, Burrow is bringing to the Bengals. And of course, he'll be back next year, but the season ending injury.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that Cincinnati definitely does have a hope, just like they were hopeful when you were playing. But who do you like watching these days right now?
Well, you know, to the Joe Burrow thing, I'm just saddened by that, because the kid is unbelievable. I was so impressed with him. I mean, for a rookie quarterback to be able to do what he's been doing, and, you know, with not the best offensive line, but it's just the guy was just amazing. So, you know, prayers are out to him that he rehabs and comes back even stronger. You know, one of the guys that I enjoy watching over the years, and I still enjoy watching, I won't turn a game off until the final second ticks off, is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy is just, I love watching him as a quarterback. You know, it's just every game seems to be exciting. I mean, to the end, I mean, it's one of those things where you never can count him out until the last one. You know, I love Quentin Nelson, the guard for the Colts. Anytime I get a chance to watch that young guard, his whole attitude and, you know, his intensity is phenomenal as an offensive lineman. So I enjoy that. So those are, you know, there's more, but those are probably a couple guys that I get a chance to watch. And I'm just impressed with their, you know, just not how much they love the game, but the intensity they play with.
Nice. Appreciate that. Now we've got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie you guys like to watch together is what?
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough one.
Well, how about this? It might be a little bit easier with the grandkids, right? What is something you and your grandkids like to watch? Maybe not with your kids, right?
Well, I'll probably watch it the most. It's probably Frozen. We got the little girls. So nice. That's probably outnumbers any of the other movies. Yeah.
Gotcha. Favorite family song, or was there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age?
An artist. No, it's probably, let's see. Oh, wow. Because there's so many. I'm one of those guys that I'm still across the board on music, so I introduced a lot of them. Probably DC Talk was one of the Christian rap group, probably one of the groups I first introduced them to when they're getting into music.
Nice. Love that. Again, 2020, not that many people are doing family vacations, traveling somewhere, but where would your perfect family vacation be, sir?
It'd be down in Orlando, down there, and Disney would be included in that time down there. Of course, Disney World to our kids, but not to our grandkids. It's known as Mickey's House.
Love it. Like I mentioned, you're a grandfather, so the best thing about being a grandfather over a dad is what?
Oh, my goodness. You can just get them. You can spoil them, and I mean, that's your job. And then at the end of the day, mom and dad pick them up, and then I can take a rest. Because there's no kids to put in bed and, you know, sing to them, which I'm bad at. Being able to have them for the time and spoil them and then give them back to mom and dad.
I love it. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
God-fearing man.
Nice. Very cool. Great. People, make sure you go to MunozFoundation.org and follow Anthony on Twitter at Anthony Munoz, HOF, of course, Hall of Fame. That's what it stands for. But again, Anthony, I really appreciate you taking the time during, especially around the holidays. I wish you and your family a great holiday in December and Christmas and all that good stuff. And I wish you guys a great and prosperous 2021, sir.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking about some great topics. You also have a great Merry Christmas and a great rest of the year.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.